You're listening to AM 1180, the station the government doesn't want you to know about. What do the coronavirus, fluoridated water, and George Soros have in common? Find out on the Speculation Zone with Justin Piper, who's had measles four times, and he never got immunized. But first, questionable material with Jack and Brian.
You are listening to Questionable Material with Jack Helmuth and Brian Sack. This episode, Brian's got a book on romance. Jack auditions. An interview with the head of the Democratic Party of New Hampshire. Jack.
Yes, Brian.
This podcast is not sustainable.
What do you mean?
Jack, do you know what it costs to put on this podcast?
Let's see.
14 50-gallon drums of oil, Jack.
Really?
300,000 pounds of poppy seeds.
For because of our muffins?
No, because of the muffins, because we want to provide the best possible podcast for the audience. Do you have any idea how many mandarin oranges are used per episode of Questionable Material?
Of this very podcast?
Of this podcast. Only this podcast.
Jeez,
mandarin oranges, not the slices, the entire mandarin oranges, including the peel.
I don't know, like a couple dozen. I mean, in a typical episode, I don't know, maybe 50.
Absurd. 800 crates.
800 crates?
800 crates of mandarin oranges or clementines.
So, okay. Now, where do those go? Because it's a two-man operation.
Yeah.
And you and I don't eat mandarin oranges.
Well, first of all, I don't ask questions. You remember Bilbo?
Bilbo Baggins.
No, not from The Hobbit, Bilbo.
No, I don't remember
Bilbo. The guy from Honduras.
No, I never met Bilbo from Honduras.
He came up the other day. You were busy. He walked up to me. He said, my name is Bilbo, or me amo Bilbo. And I was like, sure. And he said, I want to work for you. And I said, sure. And he said, what can I do? And I said, well, help us put this podcast out.
Okay.
And he said, sure. I'm going to need 850,000 pounds of sesame seeds.
Okay.
I'm going to need all these crates
of sesame seeds or poppy seeds?
Poppy seeds. See, that's the problem. I don't know Spanish and that's all he speaks. So poppy seeds, sesame seeds, to me, it's all the same.
Okay.
Sesame, poppy. I don't know. I just hear the E at the end.
Okay.
That's what drives me crazy.
Okay.
Anyway.
I blame Bilbo. Go ahead.
Bilbo and I have a communication problem. I understand. We are working it out.
Okay.
Meanwhile, he just needed lots of mandarin oranges or clementines. Or clementines. It depends where you cut. Pecan, pecan. It doesn't matter, Jack. It's all the same.
What is he doing with these?
I don't know, but he's producing this podcast.
Is it? Well, you gave him a producer credit?
Yes.
Now, is it? I feel like he may just be on the West Side Highway selling these clementines to cars that drive by.
So you call them clementines?
Yeah.
I call them clementines.
Okay, well, you're...
Do you say...
What's neat is that you're wrong and I'm right.
Well, do you say Quentin Tarantino?
Yeah, of course.
Or Quentin Tarantino?
No, the first way, the right way.
Okay, no, you're doing it wrong.
What?
Anyway, Bilbo.
Maybe Bilbo and I should talk.
You can talk to Bilbo. Do you speak Spanish?
No.
Well, then you're going to have a hard time because that's what Bilbo wants to talk about.
We should speak Honduran. That's where he's from.
I told him that and he just refused. He's just like, just Spanish, just Spanish.
Well, it sounds like our new producer is really difficult.
He's a little difficult, but he's got a crap ton of poppy seeds or sesame seeds,
but
depending.
It sounds like both.
Clementines or clementines, mm-hmm. depending.
Mm-hmm. Or both.
Or mandarin oranges or mandarin oranges, mm-hmm. Jack. I don't know anymore. I don't know how to pronounce words.
So we have like, you know, relatively modest production values on the show. So we don't, because we're not putting a ton of money into the show, but it sounds like.
Jack, money is expensive.
I know it is. You know, the box at banks that gives you the money?
Oh, the jackpot machine.
Yeah, the jackpot machine.
Yeah.
Do you hit the jackpot every time you put your magic card in there?
Most of the times.
No, most of the times.
Yeah.
And so tell me about how you get money from the jackpot machine.
You put your gambling card in.
Mm-hmm.
You type in the lucky number. I always use the same lucky number.
Which is what?
7427.
Okay.
And then you wait and see, oh, is it going to happen? And then you tick, and that's the sound of building tension. And then suddenly money comes out.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you get the phone call like 3 weeks later.
Saying what?
Just say, you might have gone over.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, I won this money fair and square.
Exactly. And yeah. I've already given it to Bilbo.
Yeah.
How will this impact the product on the field?
Well, our listeners, mm-hmm. if I get rid of Bilbo...
which I don't want to do, but I think I might have to do.
Okay.
Based on legislation they passed in California. If I get rid of Bilbo, then we're not going to be able to put poppy seeds or sesame seeds into our podcast.
Jesus.
We're not going to be able to use mandarin oranges or mandarin or clementine or clementines.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't know whatever happened with those all those gallons of oil.
Yeah, that's well, that's that seems suspicious. Right
I
there.
Just assumed it was to lubricate it so it went through the internet faster.
Okay.
I told him in no uncertain words, mm-hmm. but they were in English, and he just kind of looked at me like, what? And I said, I want this to go through the internet as fast as possible.
Okay.
So whatever it takes to lubricate the internets, mm-hmm. you do it. So I'm assuming that's where all the oil came in. Crude okay. oil.
So crude oil.
Crude oil in 55-gallon drums.
All right. Well, I mean, let's roll with it for a little while and see just how much out of pocket are you right now?
Right now, I mean, $35, $40.
Okay. That seems, I can live with that.
When you say dollars, did you just mean $1,000?
No, I just meant dollars.
No, because I mean more than that.
Oh, okay.
It's like $35,000, $40,000, something mm-hmm. like that mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. what I meant.
Is what you gave to the Honduran who came up to you in the street and yeah. said, I want to work for you. So you gave him money.
Hold on. No, not all at once.
Okay.
I went to the jackpot machine. I came back. He said more, which we both understood mutually. I went back to the jackpot machine. I came back. He said more. I went back to, and that's when Mr. Bankman started calling me.
Okay. Did you put him on with Bilbo?
I didn't. I couldn't find him after that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Because, well, I mean, I would love to meet him. Where is Bilbo right now?
I don't know. He's not returning my calls.
Oh, you had his phone number?
No, I just call Bilbo. I go, Bilbo! I used to stand on the corner. Mm-hmm. They had a feature on me in the local newspaper.
Really? What was it called?
Man shouts Bilbo from street corner.
I saw that.
Yeah, that was me.
That was in the New York Times. That wasn't a local paper.
Oh, wow. Well, it's local, technically.
Yeah, I mean, you got in a lot of trouble for that.
Well, I mean, they just wanted me to stop.
Right. Well, they is the
New York Police Department.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the mayor and everybody who lived in the 20 block radius.
Right. Because you were screaming Bilbo all day and night.
Yeah. And I had a megaphone.
Okay.
That's, I miss Bilbo.
I miss your $35,000,
$40,000. Me too. Jeez.
Yeah. Do you feel like you and Bilbo had like a connection? Like
I do.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, every time I handed him a wad of $300, mm-hmm. his eyes lit up.
Oh.
And you could just see the love.
Well, good luck, Brian. I mean, I would like to get our executive producer back. And
me too. In the meantime, it's just you and I.
Oh, no. So the Oscars were just the other day. We're just on Sunday.
Can I be honest with you?
Yes.
I'm not much of an Oscars person.
Okay.
I have not seen the Oscars in maybe 25 years.
Really?
Yeah. I don't watch that stuff.
So to like around 95, around Letterman's Oprah Uma.
Yeah. And even then I was never, because I never understood it's very self-congratulatory. Mm-hmm. Oh, aren't we great? We're so important. What we do is so amazing. Mm-hmm. It always bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
Plus I wasn't in it. And I think that bothered me
for
more.
For someone like you, that's very difficult to deal with.
How come I'm not in that?
No one is talking about me right now.
Yeah. Nobody's talking about me right now.
Yeah.
But there's something about it that just always seemed kind of weird. Never got into Oscars. So could I tell you who the contenders are? No. The Irishman, right?
Yes.
Parasite, which is great. I saw Parasite. Yep. I really liked Parasite.
Okay, good.
And I think that's about all I know. Marriage Story?
Yeah, very good.
Because my wife was talking about that. She loved it.
Oh, it's the movie about sort of like the how-to for getting a divorce?
Yeah, she said it was phenomenal. She learned a lot.
Uh-huh.
And she couldn't wait.
Really?
Yeah.
What else? I mean, like, you know, what did she say like her favorite part of the movie was?
I think just the end when it was finished.
When it was just completely finished. Yeah. And Scarlett Johansson's character was just completely free away from her husband.
Huh.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm. Joker?
Love the Joker.
Give me like your thumbnail review of the Joker.
I don't want to do anything without, I don't want to spoil anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to be very careful.
Okay.
But it was just, it's very well shot. It's dark. It's grim. And it makes you feel like you're going crazy is what I kind of got from it.
Okay.
Because as I sat there watching the movie, I looked over and my son's a leopard. And then I looked over the other side and my wife is a xylophone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking like, what is going on?
Were there a bunch of men playing the xylophone?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely your wife.
Okay. And then in front of me, I could see the people melting. And I looked behind me and they were talking about me, how they were going to attack me.
Now,
so at some point I stood up and I said, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. And then I ran out of there with my pants around my ankles.
Okay. Now, was that the Joker or did you possibly take some like mushrooms?
No. In fact, I stopped taking my medicines.
You stopped taking your medicines and then went to see the Joker.
Yeah.
That's a smart combination of things
really
to
good.
Do.
I woke up. I was like, you know what? I don't need these antipsychotic medications anymore. I'm feeling good.
Yep.
And then I went to the Joker.
Once you're feeling good, that's when you stop.
That's when you definitely stop. The medication. Yep. So while we're on this subject, I'm going to divert to a real life story.
Okay, cool.
Is that okay?
Yeah, please.
So my dad went through this period after my mother had died. And then he was, it's a sad thing.
Okay, sorry, God, I keep forgetting.
Your emotions are all mixed up.
Weird.
So he had hired this nanny and my father's going to work with his wife. He barely knows her. She's only been working there a short period of time. First thing she says to him as he's leaving for work, I don't need my medication anymore. And my father's like, what? I don't need my medication anymore.
Oh,
and
no.
He's like, okay. And then he goes to work. So while he went to work, she decided, she boiled a pot of coffee, went and poured it on the white rug in the middle of the living room, and then grabbed a suitcase and just stole a random assortment of weird things. Like this was not theft. This was crazy person stuff.
Wow.
This was like, I'll take a spoon and I'll take a vase and I'll take a dish and I'll take a pillow. And it was like this really weird assortment of things to steal. So my father gets home, there's a giant pot of coffee poured on the white rug and like various things are missing and broken. It's just like, what? So that's my story of, if you're on medication, and you're feeling good, stay on the medication.
Yeah.
Don't decide you're all better, because the reason you're all better is because you're on the medication.
That's right. So, and for many years though, you said you believed that the nanny stole your mommy.
I thought she did.
Yeah. What's the big holiday that's coming up this week?
Oh, Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Since it is Valentine's Day week. And I know you don't necessarily like to toot your own horn a lot.
Oh, here we go.
But you wrote one of the best-selling books on love.
Yes.
On sort of like the how-to book for love.
Right.
Called Who Wrote the Book of Love? I Did by Brian Sack.
Oh, right. Yes, I did.
That book that you wrote.
Yeah, Who Wrote the Book of Love?
So I was wondering if we could just sort of go over some of the points in your book. Mm-hmm. And maybe you could sort of like, you know, talk people through the various stages of relationships. And I'm sure we're going to be able to help a lot of people in various stages, you know, whether they're on a first date or whether you're online dating,
right,
all the way through through someone celebrating their 50th anniversary.
Sure. I'd love to help people.
Yeah, I know you do, which is why you wrote the book.
Yeah. Love.
Yeah. By me, Brian Sack.
That's right.
So you said you have some really interesting advice for people who are starting out in a relationship.
Yes.
That it's very important that in a traditional relationship, that the man and women have very specific roles that they need to take. That's like Brian's first tip.
Yeah.
So what are the roles, in your opinion, for a successful relationship?
For a successful relationship, mm-hmm, the roles. Are we talking about a first date scenario?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm sitting down with somebody.
Yeah. It's sort of like, how are you going to show you're a man and how is she going to show she's a woman? How is that interaction supposed to go to lead to love?
Okay. So I'm the man, right? So mm-hmm, I want to establish that I'm a gentleman.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And so as you're walking up to the door of the restaurant, and if she's ahead of you, you run in front of her, you throw that door open,
mm-hmm,
and you point to her and you're like, get in. And then she's like, oh, that's nice. You open the door for me.
Yeah.
Gets in and you close it with a great amount of force.
Okay.
To let her know you're safe.
Okay. So that makes her feel protected.
Yeah.
What if she begins to open the door?
No girl can open a door on her own. That's the first lesson of being a man.
Okay.
Never let a woman open a door on her own.
Okay.
If he dares to try, you look at her and you're like, I'll take care of this for you, darling.
Okay.
Well, and then you just kind of cock your head like a little, like maybe 30 degrees, like this.
Mm-hmm. Now, what does the 30 degree cock say?
You cock at 30 degrees and it's just, you're getting her attention.
Now, what if you did it at like an 80 degree cock? What would that say?
That's like you're the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. Okay. So that's going to look weird.
See, I think I did that on some of my dates. And
no, that's like Quasimodo. And then the date's over.
Right.
Because they don't want bell ringing and they don't want a hunchback.
And what if you do it at 1 degree?
1 degree is not significant.
Okay.
80 degrees, too significant.
Okay.
30 is kind of the sweet spot.
Okay.
That's your Goldilocks zone, as they say.
Okay. This is great. Okay. Yeah. So now you've entered the restaurant. So okay. I'll be the maitre d' or whatever.
Okay. Hi, table for two.
Do you have a reservation?
Yes.
What's the name?
I think you know.
I'm sorry, sir. I don't. I'm very busy right now. May I just have your name, please?
I'm pretty sure you know who I am.
Sir, I do not know who you are. I do not have time for games. Just tell me your name. Do you have a reservation or not, sir?
Why don't you look at that list right in front of you?
Yep, I'm looking, sir.
And just toss out a name.
Okay. Martin Freeman, Party of Five.
That's right. That's me.
Okay, Martin Freeman. You're the British actor Martin Freeman, who played Bilbo Baggins in the Hobbit movie.
Yes.
Okay. You're a silver-haired American man.
Yep.
And not Martin Freeman.
Do you have any idea how good of an actor I am?
Oh, Mr. Yeah. Freeman, I'm very sorry. Let me take you right to your table.
And it's just two of us.
Okay.
All right. So now
that really worked on
it. It does work every time. I've never had a problem.
Brian, I thought you were Martin Freeman.
Yeah. Well, that's because I know how to act.
Yeah. Okay.
And then she turns to me and she'll go like, oh, I didn't realize you were Martin Freeman. Right?
Okay. Does she? Yeah. Okay.
So I just say, well, that's for you to find out.
That's weird.
And then you do this 30 degree thing again.
Oh, and then she's like
the knowing wink.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then menus come out. So what a waiter likes is someone who takes charge. So they like someone who's like, you know, bring me menus, bring me food, come over here. I want you now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? Like who doesn't
they like being
that?
Snapped at? Yeah, yeah. Yep.
So yeah, you look at them, snap. Mm-hmm. And then they look at you, then they come over, they ask you if you like a cocktail. So you want to role play?
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Am I the waiter or am I your date?
You're the waiter.
Okay.
Don't forget, I don't want the date talking.
Oh.
I'm a gentleman.
Okay, so you're a gentleman.
She
so
needs to sit there quietly.
And what happens if she tries to talk?
I will stand up and be like, darling, don't you be using any voice words. You don't need to be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm your gentleman, and I'm here to help.
But baby, I just wanted to...
Shut it.
Brian or Martin Freeman.
Shut it.
I don't even drink alcohol.
Shut it.
I never said I'd agree to be your bae, which is the first.
You're my bae. Wink, 30 degree. Wink, wink.
Why did you just say wink and 30 degree?
So,
all right.
Waiter.
Okay, waiter. So, welcome to Chez de Paperie.
The House of the Papery. Great. Love it.
Okay.
Is Chez de Paperie.
Yeah, it sounds like a fancy French restaurant.
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome to Chez de Paperie. Uh-huh. Could I share you guys with something to drink?
Yes. I think you know that you could.
Okay. Ma'am, we'll start with you.
I will be ordering for the lady.
Okay. What would the lady like, sir?
She would like a Tom Collins.
Okay. Right. Tom Collins. And sir, she is shaking her head fervently.
Yeah, she has epilepsy. You have a problem with that?
I'm terribly sorry. She's making direct eye contact with me and mouthing, no, I don't have epilepsy.
Yeah. Have you ever met an epileptic?
No, sir.
Well, that's what they do. So just leave her alone, please.
I'm terribly sorry. If that's
insensitive. Eyes on me.
They are. Okay. Tom Collins for the epileptic.
Yeah.
And for yourself, sir?
I would like a Hendrick's martini.
Okay.
Straight up with blue cheese olives.
Okay. Right away, sir.
Thank you.
Now, Brian, let's break down what just happened.
Okay. If she doesn't want to have a Tom Collins, that's her problem. She needs to understand that she needs one to relax and be with me.
Okay.
So that's why I'm making sure she gets a Tom Collins.
Okay. Seems like she doesn't want one.
She clearly doesn't want one.
Right.
But sometimes other people know what's better for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And all this is published in your book. This is all stuff you've researched and have published.
I did. I spent a lot of time dating. Mm-hmm. I've used every dating app and all the dating websites.
Mm-hmm. Now, all those things have, I mean, you've been married for 20 years?
Mm. Yeah.
You've been using all of the dating apps and all that stuff since you've been married.
Yeah. Well, I have to research the book.
Okay. To research the book. Okay.
Which I told my wife many, 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 many times.
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to research this book
okay.
if I don't date?
Okay. And she,
how am I going to explain romance to people if I don't have romances?
Well, wouldn't she, maybe that would hurt her. Like, we have romance with me.
You got to start fresh.
Do you?
Yeah. It's going to be fresh and vibrant, exciting.
Okay.
You don't want like,
well, I'm sorry. What was that? Was that,
you know,
your wife is a 95 year old stroked out man.
You just want, you know, you want fresh, you want vibrant, you want exciting, you want new. You got to date, you got to get on the Tinder, the Plenty of Fish, the Match.coms, the J-Day Grindr.
Wait a minute,
the
Grindr?
The eHarmony. Mm-hmm. eHarmony's one, the, you know, Christian Date.
So you do Christian Date and J-Date?
Yeah, and Islam Singles.
Islam Singles.
Yeah, and Mormon Friends, Jehovah's Witnesses.
It's just called Jehovah's Witnesses and yeah. You just know it's a dating site?
Well, they just come to your house and like, you want to go out?
Oh.
You want to talk for 3 hours about going out?
Okay. So how are we closing this date? Because we want this date to lead to love, maybe to marriage, to, yeah. You know, to happily yeah. ever after.
The worst thing you can do is beat around the bush. A lot of people that go on dates, they just want to get to know each other. They just want to, you know, talk and find out, oh, you know, what's your family like, this and that. We wow. don't have time. You have to have a sense of panic. You have to make her realize we don't have time for that. We need to get married. We need to have kids, raise those kids, and we need to have heart attacks and die.
Well, you're okay. So you want to race towards your death.
Too. Absolutely. You need to do it. Yes. Preferably in between appetizers and entrees. You can run off. Hopefully they have
consummated
gender neutral bathrooms.
Sure.
You go in there and you do your thing. And hopefully she's pregnant by the time you're leaving.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. That's how things get done. Go on a date. And by the time you leave that date, one of you needs to be pregnant.
Okay.
That's the only way.
If not both.
We're going to keep the population up. So there's no such thing as happily ever after. It's all about
Jesus.
You know, just having kids. Do it.
And all this is in your book.
It's all in the book.
Okay.
All in the book.
Congratulations, Brian. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you for sharing. And happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you. It's a day filled with love and expensive dinners.
Absolutely. You want to consummate this podcast?
Yes.
Oh, God, no.
Jack.
Yes, Brian.
As you know,
mm-hmm.
I have a friend named Brad. Brad.
Oh, no. I know what this is.
Is a successful director.
Director. Yep.
And he does movies, Jack.
Oh, boy.
Well, Jack, I have some scripts that he wanted me to audition you for because he listens to the podcast and he thinks you might be good for some of these roles. And as you know, he does not like you to know the script beforehand. He just wants you to read it cold and not to know what my lines are because he wants you to stay in character the entire time.
As a director, that's what he's really looking for. If I can just read this and do a good job and not sort of break character at all, I will get the role.
Yes, Jack.
Like a life-changing.
He's directed Ben Kingsley and Michael Caine.
I would really like to get through this.
I know. Without you can't break character. It's very important you stay in character.
I really want to impress Brad.
Yes.
He is a working director.
Yep.
He is obviously constantly making movies. He's I know he's making a movie right now in Australia.
He's
is
in
that
Australia,
right?
So it has to be weird right now with the fires.
Does have to be weird. Okay, this is my chance.
Yes, is your big chance.
Okay.
All right.
Brian just handed me the script.
This is a new movie. It was just whipped up for Netflix.
Oh, okay.
It's about the coronavirus.
Oh.
In Wuhan, in China.
Boy, they must have really whipped
this
script
really
up.
They really did.
Okay.
But this is a very topical movie. It's called Plague 2020.
Oh my God.
Which is this year.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Boy, so they must want to rush this out as well. Okay.
They really do.
Okay.
All right. Ready?
Yep.
So you would be playing the role of Dr. Ben Juergens.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yep.
Plague 2020. Interior, Beijing Medical Headquarters. Dr. Ben Juergens, stands in a busy command center with television set to Chinese news stations reporting on the coronavirus. He talks to Dr. James Bartleby. That's me.
Okay. Well, it looks like the epicenter is an exotic food market in Wuhan. It's possible that the virus originated from bats.
I'm sorry, what?
There's a chance the virus came from eating bats.
Bats? Like fly around flap flap and hang from ceilings?
Yes.
So... Okay. Tell me, who looked at an upside down blind flying rodent and said, delish? Who?
Look, there's no time to make judgments. Every culture has their...
Bat sandwiches? No, they don't. That's what you eat when you're trying to make things weird.
Just write the memo ASAP.
Okay, sure. So, hey, China, congrats on inventing gunpowder and probably compasses, but please stop snacking on bats. Anything else?
Yes, probably avoid mouse sushi.
Are you shitting me?
It's just to be safe. China has a rich and colorful history, vibrant culture.
Yeah, sure. But also, please stop eating bats and live mice, right? Okay, I got it.
Just until we get everything sorted out, we need to pinpoint the cause.
Are they eating lobster nipples, perhaps?
What? No, that's not a thing. No.
I just want to make sure I have it covered, just in case.
Okay, now you're being unfair. Just write the damn memo and add chicken testicles just to be safe.
Fine. Woof! Oh, look, lunch is coming. Oh, you blew it at the end. Damn.
Brad wrote an eating a dog enter. Okay.
That's a shame. You were close. You had a little bit of a breakup in the middle there. And then at the end.
But I feel like that was almost covered.
Yeah.
Damn it.
All right. I think that's going to be a tough sell for Brad. All right. Here's another one.
Okay. I'm going to get whatever this is.
This is a Lifetime movie. It's a movie for Lifetime Television Network. Lifetime is television for women. Mm-hmm. Not that there's any difference between men and women.
None at all.
But there's a network for them just in case. Okay. Is. All right. So this is called Jim's Story.
Okay.
And you would actually be the lead if you get this role.
Oh, that'd
You'd be
huge.
Jim.
Okay, big payday.
Okay, so interior.
Means inside.
Inside. Jim's front door. Mm-hmm. Okay, Jim opens the door. His best friend, me, Bill, stands there. He looks grim.
Hey, buddy.
Jim, hey, listen, is Tabitha here?
She's upstairs taking a nap.
Okay, good. We need to talk about Tabitha, Jim.
Sure, what's the matter, Bill?
Jim, she's a kitty cat.
What?
She's an American bobtail.
Are you, but how long have you known?
Since the beginning. I didn't say anything because you seemed so happy. And I know you'd been really down ever since Barbara died, but I could tell you're getting very attached.
I was just about to ask her to move in.
Yeah, I figured. Listen, I didn't want to be the guy to tell you. I mean, I thought you might notice that she has paws and shits in a box.
Now that you mention it, that always seemed a little weird to me.
Yeah. And Jim, what did you guys ever talk about?
You know, not much in retrospect.
Let me guess. She said meow a lot.
She loves saying that.
Yeah. She's a kitty cat, Jim. That's not a long-term thing. Love is love is love, whatever, but you can't marry a kitty cat.
Oh God. I feel like an idiot. It all makes sense now. Sleeping all the time, constantly cleaning your ass.
It's okay. You've been through a lot.
Come to think of it, she trashed the sofa. I've just been so desperate for love since Barbara died.
Jim, Barbara was a hamster.
Oh my God, that's why she loved wood chips and alfalfa.
Yeah,
I'm not going to argue with you. Don't give me that role.
I don't think you got that role.
I don't. I'm going to be honest. I don't want to be. I don't want anything to do with Jim.
I'm real sorry about that. Oh, shame,
man. You would think Jim would know from the constant ass cleaning.
It's a Goodness. Shame. Well, I mean,
these are strange films.
Brad really thought you'd be good for that. It's a bummer. Bummer.
It's a bummer.
All right. Here's one. This is called The Epstein Chronicles.
Oh.
It's a new movie based on Jeffrey Epstein's life being produced by Apple TV.
Mm.
Apple Plus or whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of money in there.
Yep.
It's a lot of money.
New movie based on a true story.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. The Epstein Chronicles. And he thinks you'd be good playing Jeffrey Epstein. Because he said, like, Jack reminds me a lot of Jeffrey Epstein.
Okay.
Without the billionaire thing.
Okay.
Jeffrey Epstein, that would be you, mm-hmm. sits in his jail cell. He appears to be very happy and is writing a list of people he's going to incriminate. Barry, the prison guard, enters. Hi, Mr. Epstein. I have your medication.
Thanks, Barry. You know, even without the medication, I'm feeling great. I have a positive outlook on things.
That's nice, Mr. Epstein.
I mean, I had a great time, to be honest. Even if I'm put away for a long time, you can't take away my memories. Man, I had fun. And with so many politicians and celebrities.
I hear you, Mr. Epstein. Hey, would you do me a favor and test the tensile strength of this hemp rope for me?
Sure. I have nothing else to do. Man, I am in a good mood.
Yeah. I'll hold it out. And mm-hmm. you just press your throat against it, you know, to test the tensile strength.
Sure. That makes sense. Here you go. a little uncomfortable, to be honest.
But super helpful, Mystery. Maybe press a little harder into it, you know? I want to make sure those hemp fibers are as strong as the hemp dealer said they were.
Of course, doing your homework.
That's right. You might feel a little obstruction with the breathing, but don't worry about that.
It's hard not to notice, to be honest.
Oh, sure. But helping me test the tensile strength of this hemp rope is priceless. A little harder if you could.
Can't breathe.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Almost done. You're a great tensile strength tester, Mr. Epstein. Anyone ever tell you that? Breathe out. Good, good. Breathe out. Bill Clinton says hi, by the way.
Well, how did I do?
Well, you kind of laughed at the end, didn't you?
I don't feel like I got any of those.
As Paula Abdul would say, you seem so enthusiastic when you were up there. I really love your enthusiasm.
Sometimes it feels like I'm set up to fail in these.
I don't believe that for a second. Okay.
So I am even more excited than I am in most weeks because we have a fantastic guest this week who is incredibly topical. I mean, it is the news story of
topical
the last.
Topical like an ointment, as we say in the medical profession.
Who says that right now? Who says that?
Why do you have to put me in the spot like that?
Who says it?
So dicky.
We don't say that. You're not in the medical industry.
Okay. I've been to a doctor, whatever.
You're not part of that industry. Okay, fine. You're a patient.
All right, fine.
Take it back.
I'm sorry about making a thing about topical ointment.
Thank you. And for punishment, you may not edit that out.
Fine.
You will learn your lesson this
fine.
Time.
Fine.
Brian.
Yeah, Jack.
I'm so excited, yada, yada, because this is legit. This is a big deal.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We have John Houghton, who's the head of the DNC in New Hampshire.
Sorry. What? Dad, you told me to help you get out of the interview.
Your mother fell down the stairs?
Wait, what?
What?
Your mother fell down the stairs?
No. You said.
Did you just say your mother fell down the stairs?
He didn't.
Oh, my God.
Is
oh.
She, what?
Wait, his no, mother fell down the stairs. She needs me.
No,
Is what? She okay? Is she bleeding?
I think she broke her neck.
Oh, thank you. I mean, my God.
Why are you thanking for
terrible.
That?
Terrible.
Is she okay?
We should go.
Keys?
The keys?
Yeah.
Yeah, here. For what?
Car.
He's
mom. Oh, to the hospital. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to go to the hospital, Jack. I'm
but
so sorry.
If you're going with him, why are you letting a 12-year-old drive his broken neck mother?
I'm so sorry to leave you like this, but my wife has a broken neck, obviously, and my kid is traumatized. Okay. So I need to go.
All right, go. Go. Okay. Go. Good luck.
Ask a lot of questions.
Thanks. Good advice. My prayers are with you.
And thoughts?
Yeah. Thoughts and prayers. I'm so sorry.
Why did you say prayers? Why not thoughts and prayers?
I wanted to express myself quickly and still get to the interview.
Yeah. Whatever.
Are we okay?
Yeah.
You said it weird.
You should have just said thoughts and prayers.
Everybody, I'm sorry about that. Our first guest is fantastic. He is the head of the Democratic Party in New Hampshire. This is his big moment to shine, to show that the Democrats can get their act together and nominate a president. Please welcome John Houghton to the show. John?
Hello, Jack. New Hampshire 2020.
New Hampshire 2020.
Yes.
When a registered Democrat goes to the polls in New Hampshire, how do they vote? How is that vote tabulated? And how is that information passed on to the DNC to determine a winner?
Well, Jack, we use peas.
You use peas?
Yeah. Oh,
okay. What?
Green peas, frozen green peas.
I don't understand how you would do that to cast a vote. Please explain.
Well, every candidate is assigned a quantity of peas.
Mm-hmm.
So, Elizabeth Warren, 3 peas. Pete Buttigieg, 5 peas. Amy Klobuchar, 12 peas. Joseph Biden, 14 peas.
Okay.
Mike Bloomberg, 83 peas.
And the peas are representative of what?
The candidate. I think it's very simple. Every elector, which would be you if you're voting, is going to go right up and there's a big bin of peas, Jack, a big bin of peas. Like you've never seen so many peas.
Okay.
It's a tub of peas like you could never believe. So you're going to walk up to your tub of peas, Jack. And you're going to look at all these peas and you're going to pick who's your candidate? Mike Bloomberg? Sure. 83 peas. Pick them. And you're going to take out 83 peas. Okay.
Okay.
So you're going to take all your peas, you put them in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have 83 peas in your hand. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to walk through the elector maze.
The elector maze.
To the pea bin.
To the pea bin.
Which is where we tally all the peas. So you go through the elector maze. You come out at the end. Hopefully, it's a big maze, Jack. You get out at the end and there's a big bin there. And what do? You throw your peas in there. Well, we know if we see 83 peas in the bin, who are you voting for?
Bloomberg.
Klobuchar.
No, you said it was Bloomberg.
Oh, shoot. Is it?
Yeah.
83 is Bloomberg?
83 is Bloomberg. Like,
so
16.
What was Klobuchar?
I think she was like 16. She was, for some reason, she was ahead of Biden.
Okay.
16 or 17.
Okay. So, Bloomberg. So 80, we look in the bin, 83 peas, Bloomberg. And then the next person stumbles out of the maze. They throw their peas in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we count those.
It's 14 for Biden. So now there's 97 peas in there.
Okay. 97 peas in the bin. So we know, Jack, that we have a Klobuchar vote and a Bloomberg vote.
But couldn't it also be like 9 Elizabeth Warren votes?
She's 2 peas? How many peas is Warren? I think Warren's a 3 pea.
So you're, okay, but I mean, shouldn't this sort of be sentenced? Shouldn't this be written down somewhere? Do you have this written down?
It'll be on a sign, I'm sure. So those signs will be there when you're picking your peas. So that's not a problem. 83 peas for Bloomberg. How many for Klobuchar? 14?
That was Biden was 14. I think she was 16 or 17.
And Steyer's 743 peas.
What?
So, okay, so Bloomberg is 83. Klobuchar is 14?
16 or 17.
16 or 17.
Biden is 14.
Biden is 14 peas. Warren is 3 peas. Buttigieg is 6 peas? I think it's a 6 pea.
Maybe.
Yang.
Oh, Yang. Good. Yeah.
He's 22 peas.
Okay.
Yang's at 22 peas. I don't know why Steyer is so high up there.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, no one's going to vote for him anyway, so don't worry
about
it.
Anyway.
So, okay, but how do you know that the peas, I mean, you're just counting peas at the end of the thing, then how do you know where those peas go?
Well, you come out, let's say you're the very first elector.
Okay.
You come out with your peas, your handful of 83 peas. You throw them in the bin, 110, we start counting.
Mm-hmm.
And there's me, there's Edward, there's Lewis, there's Gracie. There's Matt. Okay,
these are the pea count. This is the head of the Democrats.
Yes. We're counting the peas. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So as you
and this is how Democrats do things.
Yes. You throw the peas into the bin. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. We get up to 83. We know it's a Bloomberg vote.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next person comes in, throws their peas in the bin. We try not to look at the peas we've already counted, and we count the other peas.
I mean, because peas are small and circular.
They sure are.
Very easy to drop, to spill, to mix up.
You don't think we thought about that, Jack?
No.
Jack, there are so many moving parts to think about. Look at Iowa. Look what they did. They did everything wrong. We're only doing one thing wrong so far that you found, and that's just we haven't calculated that peas...
The pea system.
Yeah, the pea system.
So you would have to remember. Can I ask you this?
Yes.
Why wouldn't, when you come out of the maze, why are you putting people through a maze? The pea maze.
We want people to be committed to their vote.
Don't you just want people to vote?
Yes. Oh my God, more than anything, rock the vote. Rock the vote.
Mm-hmm.
Rock it.
What does that
rock
mean?
Rock it. It means vote Democrat.
So, okay, that's what rock the vote means, just vote Democrat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, okay. Yeah,
yes,
I sort of always
course.
Do that. Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, of course we want you to vote.
So when you know, celebrities get out there and talk about like, oh, voter turnout, it just means for the people they want to vote.
Yeah, of course.
To win. Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I'm a fool, of course. Okay. But I'm confused. So, okay, that's what rock the vote means. So why are you making them work so hard?
Oh, with the maze?
Yes.
Well, first of all, we want to test your motor coordination. Don't ask me why. And
why?
We want to test your sense of direction.
Okay.
We want to know that our voters have the right sense of direction.
Mm-hmm.
That the country's because
the country's going in the right direction.
Well, here's the thing, Jack. And here's the thing about the maze, Jack, is the maze. All the right moves are to move to the left. So when you go into the maze, if you turn to the right, you're going to get lost like you've never been lost before. So you go in there and you turn left. If you make your first left, you're going to go, okay. And then you make your next left and make it, and you just keep making lefts until you get out of the maze. It's a metaphor, Jack.
Oh, that's really smart. And that teaches people to never, ever, ever, ever go right at all. Not even one little thing.
That's right, Jack.
Oh, okay. So that's how the Huffington Post publishes things.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget Salon.
I couldn't. What's the process?
Yeah.
Of once the peas are counted. Mm-hmm. And you know how many, who then, how do you get the information from the pea counting location to the people who, because, you know, there's the pea counting location, you know, in Nashua and, yes. and Keene, and I think it's a town in New Hampshire, Keene, New Hampshire.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Keene.
And all sorts of different, all the different polling places.
Uh-huh.
How do you get that information to one place to tabulate the winner?
Obviously, you use Saltines.
Okay. Tell me, that is not obvious to me. What are you talking about?
Right. You come in mm-hmm. through the maze. Mm-hmm. You throw your peas into the bin.
Okay.
Carmen, Bill, Betty, whoever counts the peas. 83 peas is a Bloomberg vote, correct?
Good. Correct.
Okay. So then we shout out to Margaret or Evan or Kyle, 83 peas.
Mm-hmm.
So he writes B on the saltine for Bloomberg.
Uh-huh.
On the saltine.
Okay.
And we put that in the saltine box. Next person comes in. They throw, how many is it for Klobuchar?
Klobuchar.
14.
That's 16? Biden. Yes, 16 for Klobuchar. 16 peas.
Okay. They call out, Kyle, 16 peas. K on the saltine. Mm-hmm. Puts it in the saltine box. Next person comes in, 14 peas. That's a Biden vote.
Yes.
B on the saltine. Into the saltine box.
Right.
And then the next person comes through. And it's how many for Buttigieg?
I think you said six. I think you landed on six.
Six peas. Okay, what's that? That's Buttigieg.
Yep.
B on the saltine. Into the saltine box. You get it? You understand now, Jack?
I think so. I think so. So then the saltine box gets filled up.
Yes.
And gets sent off to the main
yes.
vote counting location that you have.
Yes.
Describe this location and the apparatus within.
It's New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the middle of the forest, Jack.
Oh.
And so these trucks back up. Mm-hmm. They open up the back
mm-hmm.
and they pull out all the saltine boxes.
Okay.
And then all the counters who have been registered and have lifelong Democrats and they're very allegiant to the party and not the candidate.
Okay.
They're going to be honest. They take out the saltine boxes, they open them, and they start taking out the saltines, mm-hmm. individual saltines. Well, then they sort them, of course, by the candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And they put them, you know, a B goes over here, a K goes over here, Y goes over there.
For Yang. Uh-huh.
For Yang.
Mm-hmm.
Buttigieg, okay, over there in the Bs. And
now I'm going to stop you right there.
Yeah.
So you have three or four candidates with a B on them. And so how do you tell Biden votes versus Buttigieg votes versus Bloomberg votes?
Huh.
Oh. You okay? Are you all right there? What? No, I just give me the answer.
No, that's a valid.
Did you?
Okay, so, okay, you throw me off track. Hold on. So the saltines are on the tables based on the different letters of the candidates' last names.
Yeah.
And then when we, okay, Biden, Buttigieg, Sanders, Klobuchar, Steyer. Oh.
And because you also, because there's some S's and, but also some B's because earlier you said like Bernie, because, you know, that's sort of people know more. Yeah. It's like, you know, because like, hey,
well, Bernie is, yeah, he's a B.
Yeah. Because everyone is like, you know, Bernie 2020, they don't yeah, say Sanders.
No. We'd be like, go Bernie.
Right.
Kyle, Bernie, B. Kyle, and Bernie, Kyle writes a B.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
I can't.
Okay, well, we have time to sort this out. When is the...
Well, I mean, you know, we need to know now. And so you're in the middle of a clearing in the forest.
Yeah.
But I mean, isn't there some like wildlife and stuff?
Oh, it's New Hampshire. Lots of wildlife, Jack. There's squirrels and beaver and chipmunks, mice,
and
saltine chucks. And
well, that's an interesting animal. What's a saltine chuck?
It's a little rodent. It's like a chipmunk
mm-hmm.
and it's like a groundhog,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't eat wood. It just loves saltines.
Oh, it just loves to eat saltines.
Yeah.
So is it possible that the saltine chuck would potentially consume a lot of your votes?
Ooh.
Mm. Are you not thinking of this shit right now? I mean, like.
Mm. Oh, my. Oh, my, Jack. You've uncovered a certain number of problems we did not anticipate.
Why did you build the system this way? Why put votes on saltines? Why not just keep a paper copy that says the name of the person I voted for?
That is analog, Jack, and we are thinking future. We're thinking forward. We're leaning in.
I mean, saltine, sometimes you'll pick up a saltine and it'll disintegrate. Oh, in your
absolutely.
Hands.
They never last.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, maybe at least just put them on, as stupid as your system is, maybe just put it on a Ritz cracker, because those at least have a little bit more.
They are more sturdy when you think
they
about
are.
It.
And I do saltine. What are the creatures? The saltine chucks?
Saltine chucks.
Do saltine chucks like Ritz crackers?
Not at all. No.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Loopholes.
I mean, that's a solution. That's a bad solution, but it still would make things better.
Okay. Mm. When?
Now.
Is it?
Mm-hmm, now.
It's today?
Yeah, it's now.
Oh. Mm.
So.
I'm so upset because I really was hoping we could one-up Iowa for being so stupid.
No, you've one-up them. You've done it.
No, but that. Oh, you're right. Mm.
So, okay. This gives me pause to think,
like
that,
a cat or okay. A saltine chuck.
No, this makes me stop and think.
Oh, those pauses.
Mm-hmm. This gives me pause that maybe the Democrats aren't equipped to run anything. As an undecided voter, now I'm thinking maybe maybe I'll vote for a Merkel because I'm moving to Germany.
M. That's what I would write on the saltine, Jack. Mm-hmm. M for Merkel.
So.
Or L for let in all the immigrants.
So I feel like you haven't learned your lesson, because in your new election that you're running for Merkel, you're putting M's on saltines again.
Right.
Who's her opponent?
Mittler. Because now I see a lot of flaws coming up, and we don't have a lot of time to fix them.
You know, you don't have time because it's the results are due.
And I was so glad we didn't have that stupid app.
What's that you're munching right now?
Peas. Oh my God, I just ate a vote for Amy Klobuchar.
Sign up for our newsletter at qmpodcast.com. Spread the word. We've gotten so many nice reviews on Apple, especially Apple Podcasts. Thank you, everybody who's written a review. They've been really lovely, and we read them all. qmpodcast.com. Spread the word. Spread the love. We'll see you next week. Bye.